it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So our lowest price, Doral Kia, or DoralKia.com, starting with the Canes, who return to practice today as they get set for the top 20 matchup with USF. Saturday's game kicks at 4:30 from Hard Rock and can be heard here on 104.3 WQAM with countdown to kickoff beginning at noon. Over to the Dolphins, who placed right guard James Daniels on IR. Miami added offensive lineman Cole Strange from Cleveland's practice squad. The Dolphins will host New England on Sunday. And to the Marlins, who fell to the Nationals 7-5, game three of the four-game series this tonight with the first pitch at 6:40 from Lone Depot Park. The Joe Rose Show continues now. And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, Woody, thank you. Kyle Krabs, host of Locked On Dolphins and A to Z Sports NFL analyst with us. And we lost him, and he's going to be back here in just a second with us. So, it's been a tough couple of days. And, you know, I think most of us, although some of you have said, I told you so, nobody saw that coming. No one saw that coming. From top to bottom, every part of your team, nobody saw that one coming. I don't buy when somebody tried to tell me yesterday. And the question I get right now is, after that beating, is how do you think? And I got it a bunch yesterday. Now and everybody's had a couple of days. How do they bounce back against the New England Patriots at home? And we bring Kyle Krabs in right now. Kyle, good morning. How you doing?
I've been better. I'm not going to lie. How you doing, Jill?
I'm good. And so after everything, and I watched your podcast yesterday and breaking everything down, how do they bounce back? Can they? Was the big question that everybody wanted to know, including former teammates. Like, how do you overcome something like that? And how much can you turn that around in 1 week? And Patriots in some positions are better than the team we just played. So what are your thoughts?
They are. I think there's a different set of strengths and weaknesses in this game than what there was against Indianapolis, and it'll be interesting to get another litmus test on that. You played about as negative of a game script as you possibly could. If I'm Miami and I'm coming out of the week one game, I think the primary adjustment I'm making on defense is I'm probably playing a little tighter in coverage. We kind of heard some of that throughout the course of the offseason of, well, we want to be physical in the contact window and disrupt timing on routes. And then you come out and everybody's 8 yards off the ball in coverage. And it's a bunch of free access underneath, and it allows you to negate the pass rush that you're leaning on to carry the team. On the offensive side of the ball, don't fall behind three scores so that you can have some balance and run the ball, because that's where all your improvements we felt were there for the taking, never mind who's available this week and who's not. But Tua's got to execute. Like, it was a lot of routine reads that in years past have not been a problem to execute and read out and get the ball to the right guy. And there was an alarming amount of those that were not read properly based on where his eyes start. Like, it's one thing to point to the other side of the field, say, hey, this guy's open over here, but the coverage dictates that Tua's eyes go the other way. It's guys on the front side where his eyes are starting that are open, that are quick decisions that he did not throw the ball on. And that, for me, was the most alarming thing on offense.
I had two thoughts, and I'll let you go on. First of all, does this – one of the things happens when Tua is playing with Malik Washington and D. Eskridge throughout camp, and there's not a lot of Jaylen Waddle, and there's definitely zero Tyreek Hill as well as Achane. Is this part of what happens?
I guess maybe, but if you're going to run snag and the corner's soft and got to run over the top, you throw the ball to the flat, right? Like,
yes.
I think the interception that he threw, the first interception that he threw, he's missed that throw before. He's tried to layer that ball before. It's gotten picked off before. I didn't think that was a big deal. It was the turndowns. It was guys that were open. It doesn't matter who's reading it. It's a man's own indicator, and it's what kind of leverage do you have with the defender's first two steps. And if you get it, throw the ball. Like, that's been what's been money for Tua for so long, and that wasn't there in this game. And that's the most – whatever your forecast was for the team before the year, if you play like that every game, you're not going to give the offense a very consistent chance to be in rhythm and get more than – the 48 plays or whatever it was that they ended up getting on.
Yeah, it was definitely in the 40s. So Kyle, I got to ask you too, and we haven't talked much about this. They've kind of gotten a haul past the pass rush. They picked it up, and every time they picked it up, it was like, uh-oh, we didn't get there. This, and you see extra bodies coming, and they're blocking them one-on-one. You know it's going to be a completion down the field. What was your take on the pass rush from the big four on the outside?
Well, I think the big four on the outside, it's I'm sympathetic to the amount of off-balance opportunities you had where on early downs, they came out and ran play action on early downs where maybe you're expecting more passing games. So you give the Colts credit for that part of their game plan. And then you're behind and you're off-balance. I don't take a great exception to what that unit looked like rushing the passer because you have to earn the right to rush the passer. I go back to Jalen Phillips said that after the 2023 season debut against the Chargers where they put up all those points
against
the Dolphins and winning the game. Phillips said after the game, we have to earn the right to rush the passer. That team set a franchise record in sacks, but they were non-existent the first week because they didn't play complimentary football. Yeah. So I'm not freaking out about that part of it. But when you blitz, and they blitzed over half of their defensive snaps, they blitzed. But you blitz from depth. It's not hitting home. So that's when I talk about being tighter to the line of scrimmage. I think this team needs to, this week, be a little more accepting of the risk-reward of giving up some explosives down the field and say, we got to take the air out of the coverage. And if we want to bring extra bodies, we got to get those bodies a little closer to the line of scrimmage. Yeah. So you actually have a chance to get home on the quarterback.
You, to your point, the first down, too many 5- and 6- and 7-yard runs by the Colts to what Bradley Chubb's talking about. Now you realize on second down, they can get a first down by running the ball again, which they did a lot of and really pounded them.
Joe, I think they had 3 third downs in the entire game that were longer than 4 yards to gain.
Yeah. No, they had a great game plan. By the way, both of them. Did Lou Anarumo do anything? Because we had talked to him a long time ago at a wedding. Spent an evening with him at a wedding I went to, and he talked about getting after Tua. I'm gonna get after him. I know Tua, and I'm getting after him. I'm gonna make him like Xavier Howard said. We're gonna get him off that first read, and we're gonna hit him. Did they do anything that surprised you? Any kind of blitzes?
They brought some stuff off the edge with DBs. Obviously, you had the Kenny Moore sack.
Yeah, he had a great game.
Shan didn't pick up. And then it was funny. They came back and ran that, a very similar to the concept, to that Achan missed pass pro assignment later in the game, and instead of having him behind Tua in the pistol, they put him offset away from the nickel so that when you ran the play fake, Achan's running right into the face of the nickel, and they brought the nickel again on that one. So it was kind of funny to see the chess match unfold amidst the carnage of the game tape. But then they had a split back shotgun backfield, and Alec Ingold goes in motion away. And there's a check off that motion where the safety drops down and he's free off the edge. And Tanner Connor goes and Austin Jackson is kind of stepping down to protect and hand off the defense. And it created a free run for Nick Cross. And that was one of the big hits on Tua. So I think they did some things with DBs. I think that kind of goes back to maybe the Steve Spagnuolo game plan when the Dolphins played the Chiefs in Germany a few years ago, where they had a lot of success with like cat blitzes and off the edge. That was what it kind of reminded me of for what he did that was unique. But I didn't think they came out and ran the most exotic coverage game plan and high stress pressure game plan in the history of mankind or anything like that.
How do you explain There was a lot of crazy stats in this game on it. You know, seven straight drives, every drive they scored, and Tua's numbers were shockingly horrible. Tyreek Hill has had one 30-yard plus reception in the last year, going back to the Jacksonville game. How do you explain? I don't care who's playing quarterback. How do you explain he hasn't at least caught a slant at 20, 25 yards on the run and run for another 20 yards like he did for 2 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they stopped. It felt like they stopped throwing that at such a high incidence rate last year in 2023 because teams started cheating so hard into that space, and then they would selectively take him. But the receivers both took a higher percentage of snap share in 2024 than they did in 2023. And those guys took some big hits on those targets. So it kind of felt like you got away from that honey hole and money concept that was such a key part of the explosive game in 23. Tua had Tyreek on a 33-yard touchdown. In this game, flushed outside the pocket, Tyreek's wide open, but Tua throwing on the run, rolling to his left, to his throwing side, gets the ball out a little late, and just the ability to drive the ball on the run caused that throw to take so much time in the air that it pulled Tyreek into the sideline.
Right.
And he got both feet in, and then Mike didn't challenge it. So I don't know. That might have been a 28-yard completion. It might have been a 30-yard completion. If you can drive that ball in there as you see it and you make the decision to throw, it's a walk-in touchdown. So I do believe what Mike said on Monday, that there's compounding variables that are part of that, because that Devon Achane sack that he gave up with the Kenny Moore pressure off the edge, that was a two-man concept where Tyreek was the primary and he was going to be open down the field.
Yeah.
Now, it's at some point, if there's that many compounding variables, that's when you really have a problem. And I think that's the most discouraging thing, is all the things that we thought we were going to see as adjustments, and they told us they wanted to do throughout the offseason, and you saw the personnel moves that you felt like kind of matched that. You got out here in this game, and this game, was it a disconnect as far as the players you brought in and how you wanted to use them? Was it their ability to pick up what you wanted to try to do? There's a whole other can of worms here, but that performance on Sunday, I do not believe was indicative of the talent that's at their disposal. Now, they have weak points on the roster for sure, but I don't think anybody would have ever predicted
that. No, I'm with you.
Like that.
Yeah.
A lot more talented football team than that.
I agree. And now, obviously, because of the way they played, you know, they can sit and call me a dumbass and probably say the same thing to you, but I agree. The names on the back of those jerseys cannot be truly that bad. Hey, I want to ask you, the right guard position and maybe right tackle. Austin Jackson could be out for this game. Who ends up going? Cole Strange just got here. I don't know. They said Keon Smith played well and Brunskill did not play. So what's your take on who's going to be the right guard when all said and done, ready to go on Sunday here?
If it were me, I would want Brunskill playing because of familiarity and execution of different variations of the things that Miami runs, as compared to Keon. They've been working on cross training at guard. I think he struggles inside as compared to being just a left tackle. Though they want to have value for those interior guys, so they want them to be able to play inside. But I think what Cole Strange does give you is another player who can snap. So if Daniel Brunskill is a high value piece because he's the only other player on the active roster that can snap for you, bringing in Cole Strange gives you an emergency player that could snap in theory, and then Brunskill, you can kind of tap more into the flexibility of what Daniel Brunskill can do with somebody who can play all three spots. So that would be, as I, and we've already established here this morning, that me applying my logic to their personnel moves and what they're available to do did not match what happened in week one. But as I look at that Cole Strange move, I say, okay, we have somebody who's capable of snapping. That frees me up to use Brunskill as a true chess piece and not worry about what happens if Aaron Brewer has to miss any snaps at all. I would put Brunskill in and play him at right guard.
Yeah. So the big question is, I got yesterday after everybody calmed down a little bit, not much, because you know they've been getting absolutely blasted. Right. Not really, but it was like, all right, so how do they bounce back here in week two? How much better can they play? And then we get into, well, the Colts have a better roster than the Patriots. And I go, well, some places, but not everywhere. How much better can they play after, I don't know where their confidence and everything, and now the Tyreek Hill and the ex-wife, and I'm guessing there's going to be an NFL investigation going on, just something else that you have to, you know, that you shouldn't have to think about at all, and the coach sure the hell shouldn't have to answer today.
Correct. I think the Patriots offensive line looked very problematic in week one against the Raiders. They gave up a lot of pressure for Drake May. I don't think their wide receiver, I know Stephon Diggs is a more accomplished NFL player, but I think the bevy of talent that Indianapolis had with Tyler Warren and Michael Pittman and Josh Downs
Pierce.
And Avion yeah. Mitchell to go with Alex. Like, I think the Colts have better skill players top to bottom, and I think their offensive line's better. Now, the question of Daniel Jones and versus Drake May and what the ceiling is of Drake May, what he versus what he actually is in year two of an Earhart Perkins offense. Like, I would be very surprised if the Patriots scored on seven consecutive possessions like Colts did in week one.
Yeah, I'm with you. Hopefully.
But when the Dolphins have the ball, we have these questions on the offensive line. This is a good Patriots team. We'll need to see what the status is of Christian Gonzalez, the cornerback who missed
big
one.
One
for Indianapolis. Yeah. That would be a big notch in your belt, but you got to execute and you got to play with more balance. And I understand the score kind of dictated things for you, but you have to read the field as it's available to you and make good decisions on where to go, especially with your early reads. And I did not think we got that at all from the quarterback on Sunday.
Geno Smith, 9 20-plus yard plays in that game. If you want to talk about a shocker, Geno and what they chewed up, I like that secondary for New England. And I was like, all right, hey, man, there's got to be some plays for get Waddle and Hill going a little bit in this game with what Geno was able to do against them.
Yeah, I think so. And if not, I think that's equally alarming. And I think the most important thing for me, Joe, is what is the intensity of the football team, right? Because everybody heard about the offseason. All offseason you heard about the hot seat for Mike McDaniel and the team culture and blah, blah, blah. And it looked like they like woke up late, slept in, and forgot that they needed to be at the stadium to play the game.
Yeah, it was weird.
And now you get punched in the mouth. You get your home opener. The conversation is only going to get more intense. If they come out flat for this one,
oh, they got
like that's the biggest variable as far as everybody's prognosis for what the team looked like. I don't think anybody bet that you'd come into the season and play flat like that. And I think it's a big explanation as far as why it went as bad as it did. I think that you got outcoached on both sides of the ball with what their plans were versus yours too. But your guys didn't play with the kind of intensity that they needed to. And if it happens twice in a row, especially with the home opener after what last week was, that's a damning indictment that I don't think anybody expected would be this bad this fast if that's how it plays out.
Yeah. You replace anybody in the lineup, and or do you just go, hey, fellas, you're the guys, man. You're front-loaded roster. Let's go.
I cannot justify a world in which Tanner Connor has one less snap than Jalen Waddle and two less snaps than Tyreek Hill. I know he's been here. He's in the system. He knows the playbook. He got 28 snaps. That's more snaps in week one than he's played in any of his first three NFL seasons, all of their games combined.
Yeah.
And he got his first career rep in pass protection on Sunday, and he had the fourth Buckner 101. And how do you think that went? It didn't go well. I would lean into you brought in more wide receivers. You had Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. There's this chemistry that exists with Malik Washington. I understand you're lean on tight ends. I don't understand you don't want to have Julian Hill playing 100% of the snaps, but that would be the one big piece for me on offense is I do like to run the ball more, but I'd like to see more of 11 personnel and less of the Tanner Connor reps. And then on defense, I thought Dante Trader showed some stuff at safety. He got over 20 snaps.
Boy, that surprised me. I did not see that coming, him playing at safety. That's funny you said that. Well, yeah.
Joe, I mean, they every chance these coaches had, whether it was Craig Aukerman or Anthony Weaver, they talked him up and unprompted talked him up as we were not seeing him throughout the preseason. His name would come up again and again. So I think they felt they had something there. And I really liked the aggressiveness that he played with. I thought he tackled well. And I think the contrast there versus I did not think Ifeatu Tumelifonu had a super strong performance.
No.
I would be it seems like there's an injury for Storm Duck that's facilitated the change at that spot. I thought that was a big problem spot for the Dolphins. I know they really liked him. I know he's a hard worker and focused on his technique, but he got gashed for about 3-4 explosives.
Oh, they went after him. Make no mistake about it. They decided whoever put it together, they had their choice, and they went after Storm Duck. That's not up for debate. They were deep comebacks. They were going after him. No question about it. Kyle, as always, man, really good stuff. You feel pretty good this week? Oh, I'm just curious what your gut feeling is. You've been real positive, man. Go ahead.
Well, so you hear what they say all offseason, and you apply it through logic and say, yeah, that makes sense. I like your plan. I like to see what it looks like. We didn't see it, right?
No.
So that's where, for me, like, my focus is how intense does the team play? I look at the matchup on paper and say, yeah, I like your matchups. I like your ability to dictate on both sides of the ball. But if the team comes out flat, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
like, that's the thing that you really can't gauge until they go out and do. And that's their off-season slogan this year is they say we do. Well, I said things that, well, I liked your plan, and you did not do your plan. So I don't know for this week. I really don't.
Yeah.
They come out with the heart and the intensity like that. No, I don't like them on Sunday.
Yeah. Kyle, thanks, man. A lot of good stuff. Hang in there, man. Hang in there. Thank you.
You too. All right.
Kyle Krabs, host of Locked On Dolphins and A to Z Sports NFL analyst. Hey, we got to go to break here, running long, but I want to get Kyle in there. He needed a little bit. He needed us this morning to help him out a little bit. Hey, it's truck month. It's your South Florida Chevy dealers. Wherever you're headed, hey, man, we got a truck for you. And I got to tell you, man, it is a great time to stop by your nearest South Florida Chevy dealer. And we got 14 of them throughout South Florida. And take some test drives and get yourself a really strong, dependable Chevy truck. Durable Colorado with a standard Turbo Max engine, impressive torque. You'll get aggressive off-road capability for every adventure that's straight ahead for you right here in South Florida. Silverado 1500, always ready, steady, and strong, delivering all the power you could ever want. Man, from the workday, workshop, workhorse, we got for you. Weekend Warrior. Hey, yeah, for the toys on the weekend, we got a truck that's absolutely made for you. How about that Silverado HD? You'll feel confident, in command, and no matter task, whatever it is, it offers big payload numbers, legendary horsepower, and one of the hardest working beds in the business. Hey, man, South Florida Chevy dealers understand, a lot of you out there listening right now, just make a truck. You make a living out of your truck. You work seven days a week out of that truck. You need somebody that's going to be durable and strong the way you are 7 days a week, and we got it at your South Florida Chevy dealers with outstanding offers going on right now.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
How would you like the chance to have a Pro Bowl Miami football player come visit an elementary school of your choice? It could happen. It's WQAM's MVP experience with the Dolphins' Zach Sealer. He is on board to speak at a school. Go to WQAM.com. Enter an elementary school in Broward or Dade now for a chance to get a visit from Zach Sealer, where he will speak to students and more. For contest rules, WQAM.com, Joe.
Good guy.
We'll give away some tickets later in the show.
Really good guy. By the way. You got tickets?
I do.
Four?
Marlins Beer Fest. Saturday.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
We got that going on, obviously. And
I'm going to give the winner your cell phone number as well, by the way. That's also part of the contest.
We have We got two very, very important games, I can tell you that, at Hard Rock Stadium on Saturday and on Sunday as South Florida comes here undefeated in the top 20 with wins over Boise State at home. And traveled a couple hours to Gainesville and beat the Gators, who have LSU this week. And I'm just telling everybody, no grab bass at practice this week, man. This is Shoes love that.
Yeah, I was say you're going full Shula on us here. With
yeah,
that, huh?
That yeah. About you know who you play and you know they're South Florida and they haven't played us yet and all that stuff. And, oh man, we're 17.5-point favorite.
I don't think with Mario and the rest of those coaches, you're going to have to worry too much about that.
Yeah. You don't think you had a couple of those conversations late in the year with who they were playing?
I don't know. I'm guessing this game right now, those coaches are well aware.
Oh, no. You listen to Mario. They're playing that soundbite from Monday, and yeah. Mario's aware of it. And so, hey, I am really looking. You know, Reuben Bain and Akeem Mesdor are off to a great start on the outside. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's playing as well as anybody. And I can't wait to see getting a Byron Brown, how that looks. Talented quarterback. I know the Gators, and I mean, I didn't see the game. Jamie gave me a scouting report yesterday and more today that Florida just looked sloppy. Penalties.
An ugly game by the Gators. They really, they should have won that game.
Yes. And he said that the play calling by Napier was like, when you should be running, making them burn timeouts and stuff, and
yeah,
instead
you're on first and third down on their last off.
And listen, you can't win in that situation. He gets a first down, nobody's saying a word, right? Catch the ball, first down.
Went through the guy's hands.
It's a play that they see. Know that.
No, it went right through the guy's hands.
And Jamie didn't bring that up. They're so busy. So this
because
is what
all he
fans
wants to do. He just goes after the coach because that's all.
Because they want to attack.
The coach is doing a great job up there. You just lost 18.
I know, but Jamie, you just left out that the guy catches the ball. It's a first down. It's funny why you're going. They threw the ball twice. We should be running it.
Actually,
I
mean, it's probably a touchdown if he catches it.
Still should be running the ball.
Is that true?
Yeah, the guy beat him.
You know what, Jamie? Your stuff's no good. Not any of you Gators like he's a terrible coach. The guy dropped a friggin' ball.
Where the coach really screwed up, in my opinion, I don't know what Jamie thinks, but that team is just very undisciplined. They got a lot of bad penalties. I mean, Joe, they had a guy spit in someone's face
that every day. I know the guy spit.
He apologized, by the way. I don't know.
Okay. No, I don't care about his apology. He didn't spit on me. I don't care. Huh?
Where's Jalen Carter's apology?
He did. He came out and apologized.
Did he? Okay.
Why? Because he wrote a $50,000 check.
Yeah, $56,000 check.
With that fine, by the way, he got like $50,000, like $222 fine. Like, why couldn't they just land on a round number?
Because that's what he made that week.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
A game check.
It was a game check.
Okay, that makes sense then.
And they said that was his suspension. He didn't play one snap. How the hell? That's a first. How do you not play one snap and get kicked out of a frigging game? That's hard to do.
What's with the spitting thing? The spitting thing.
I know you're just, you can't.
I'm caught up in that.
I know you are. It's like somebody spit on you and your kids.
But I don't understand, like, what?
I don't know. It's been going on forever. People have been spitting on people forever. Very common when I play, guys spit on you.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, but they didn't have cameras when you played.
Oh, God. Okay.
That's the difference.
So it made it okay in 40 years ago?
But they didn't have cameras. Didn't exist.
Kids been spitting on each other forever.
The only things that exist from your games are photos.
Jesus,
in black and white.
Woody, where'd you grow up? Seriously, that like all of a sudden this spitting thing never happened when you were a kid.
Really? I didn't know this was like a big thing.
Oh, Woody,
I'm sorry.
Jesus, you need to.
I must have been sheltered.
You were.
There weren't a ton of
spitting.
Think
up there in Boca. The kids apparently
up.
Kids in Boca didn't spit on each other.
No, they didn't.
Hey, I can't say that about Boca anymore. Those West Boca kids had a tough loss the other day.
They're spitting,
but,
right?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, they're
feisty,
playing the same damn good football
they're
team
on
what
people.
They are.
I didn't realize this was such a big thing.
You bring it up like you're like,
appalled.
You can't let go.
I was appalled by it.
One thing about you, when you get going on something or a team, you're relentless. And this spitting thing, it's terrible.
My team won because of it. Imagine if they lost because of it. Coming for that guy's head.
That was weak, Jamie. I ain't just letting him go. He put a positive spin on the spit.
But by the way, that guy catches that ball on third down, he's off to the races.
I mean, we can sit here and say so many ifs. If the Gators don't get two penalties in the first half on scoring drive, on scoring plays,
it's true.
It's probably a different game.
Yeah, stop holding.
In the first half, if Tony Livingston catches a wide open touchdown pass, hit him in the hands, then it's a different game.
I didn't
game.
Hear that one either. So that's another.
First drive of the game, the guy drops the touchdown.
Okay,
pass.
So he drops one. Pass. What about the end of the game? Was that guy, I want to hear you, Jamie, say that guy catches that ball, he's got a chance to score.
I
yes
don't know
or
if
no?
It was a touchdown, but it's a first down. And the
what, was it
the
a
game.
Catchable ball, Jamie?
It was catchable ball.
You know what we're
you're
learning?
You're sitting here ripping them.
I'm still sitting here ripping them because why are we running the ball on first down when you need 2 o'clock?
Real soon, this guy's going to say LSU is going to cover that spread. Real soon.
No.
He's realizing his team sucks.
Oh,
I don't
man.
Think they suck at all.
You guys paid the wrong guy.
No. Jamie has said there's an upset coming.
I think when we come in here Monday morning, the Gators are going to have beaten LSU over the weekend, and we're going to be having a whole different conversation about the Florida Gators.
I hope we never have to talk about the Gators again. But
I mean,
well, we are going to talk about them because they play a couple weeks from now down here.
Miami, yeah.
Woody, man. Woody, you obviously haven't spent any money in Florida, and I know you didn't go to school there.
No.
I had 5 or 6 years there.
Did you really?
Yeah, she degreed me there.
A little graduate school action?
She did the whole deal. I went up there a lot. I've told you, Cracker Barrel was.
I heard you have the picture with the Tebow statue, right?
I did. I did take it. I took a lot of stuff for that.
Did you?
Oh.
Why?
Because I'm always getting on Tebow, and then I went over and took the picture with all the Heisman Trophy winners at graduation. So my nephew went up there, so I went up for his graduation, and you know that they love to give me a hard time up there. That, by the way, you know who gave me a harder time? I went up to see my daughter at Florida State, my oldest daughter, and she's going, we're having lunch, and she goes, why are they, everybody's giving you such a hard time and yelling over here? I go, it's me. It's not you.
An outrage.
Oh, man.
Did you take any pictures over there?
No, they were hard. Like, hey, well, Mr. Kane's here, man. I go, they're on our station, sir. You know, I tried to be funny, but they were drinking. They were drinking pretty good up there. Hey, Atlantic Men's Clinic, ED Low T. I got to tell you right now, man, that if you're going through it and you know you have it and you are so tired and you just feel like you're out of it, you feel half depressed a lot. Low T does this to you, man. As you get older, it's going to happen to every guy. You're going to hit some serious low numbers. And when you do, and usually ED follows low T, and then there you are in your 40s, maybe 50s, for sure in your 60s, sitting there with ED and low T. No matter what you tell me, no matter how I had guys tell, I've never had a problem. Yes, you have. Don't tell me your sex drive's always the same. Don't. You sound stupid. Hey, it's normal. You don't have to be embarrassed. The question is, if you want to take care of it and get rid of it and be more active and stay active and have the energy to want to work out and enjoy your family more and walk like you used to and play the sports like you used to and your sex drive to be back to really enjoy your time with your wife or your girlfriend, Atlantic Men's Clinic, this is what they do. And boy, I'll tell you what, I had full-blown ED and low T. I mean, it couldn't have been any worse. And it was a problem. And we know, she's like, no, it's fine, Joe. Don't worry. And I was like, no, it's not. It's a problem. Got the T, the PSA test. Met with their professional staff, and they put me on a program. And the question I always get is how long before it kicks in? It kicks in real fast. 7 locations in South Florida. I go to a plantation location. Got a brand new location in Hollywood. Hey, I can just tell you this. If it's something that's bothering you right now, either one or both of those things I'm talking about, call them 877-455-7300 and set up that first appointment. Say, hey, does Joe Rose really come here? And I'd like to come in. Set up the first appointment. Get started today. Go to AtlanticMen'sClinic.com. Get more information. I'm going to tell you something. Atlantic Men's Clinic absolutely works, and it works fast. Jump on the program.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes.
All
sounds
right.
Good.
I need a creative caller number if you can. You're so good at this.
All right. I'm going caller number four. You want to know caller number four? Waddle and Hill both had four catches in the last game. So caller number four.
Each or combined?
Each. No, okay. Each.
All right. 305-567-0560. Beer Fest is coming to Lone Depot Park this Saturday. Marlins and Tigers, sample domestic, international, local craft brews. And we'll take, again, caller number four right now. You must be 21 or over to win, obviously.
Well, they do. They give you different beers.
Yeah, you get a cup. You go around, different beers.
Man.
It's a nice way to spend your day.
Yeah. We got a lot of stuff going on this weekend. College football, pro football.
Busy weekend.
We've got Major League Baseball. Boy, that team is banged up, man. They're playing. You look, there's names. They're bringing everybody up right now and starting to show in the win-loss record here with so many guys injured. We're going to get all caught up. Hey, we got a special treat. He's going to be joining us, though, every Wednesday at 9 o'clock. Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL Insider, NFL Network, Baldy's Breakdowns, the whole deal. He's been studying film and you see him on TV a lot if you watch NFL Network. And so we'll have Baldy going to join us here in just a few minutes, get him right at 9 o'clock and get into everything, a little bit around the National Football League, as well as how this team bounces back. That's where I am right now. It's Wednesday, and I'm rebounding. What will the Miami Dolphins look like against the New England Patriots? Feel like you know the Patriots team, probably, right? We saw their quarterback down here as a rookie last year. I thought he's pretty good. Their team was not very good. It's much improved. They lost week one at home, and now we'll be coming down here. Really good in some positions, a little shaky in others, and so we'll find out what it's going to look like. I am really curious to see energy level, game plan, and everything else for this game. And especially if you're looking at one guy, Tyreek Hill, and not Tyreek Hill, Tua Tagovailoa. Got to get those guys going. Got to get them going. And there's a lot of other stuff around it. And I don't know how, when you got a distraction, like an ex-wife accusing you of domestic violence. Whew, man. All right. Anyway, we've got more stuff to get to here this morning, so get all caught up. We'll have Baldy join us here in just a few minutes. But first, before we do that, I want to tell you about Baptist Health South Florida. Hey, man, you know how this deal works. You're competitive, whatever sport it is, team or individual sports. You know how this works. Sooner or later, we all get injured. Same with our professional teams. And people ask me almost every day, I get, hey, Joe, where do the pros?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.